Hello and welcome to the first episode of Poultry Today, a new podcast brought to you by Poultry Business Magazine. I'm your host, Chloe Ryan, and joining me for this month's episode are guests Paul Kelly, Managing Director of Kelly Turkeys, and Mark Gorton, Managing Director of Traditional Norfolk Poultry. Kelly Turkeys is a family business based in Essex, known for its Kelly Bronze breed of premium free-range turkey, reared in the Essex woodlands, which are dry-plucked and supplied to customers for Christmas. Paul also runs Farmgate Hatcheries, which breeds turkeys and supplies poults to farmers around the country. Mark Gorton founded Traditional Norfolk Poultry in the 1980s, and the business has grown steadily since then. TNP has a large seasonal free-range and organic turkey business supplying major supermarkets and also produces free-range speciality chickens year-round, including its own exclusive breed, the Norfolk Black. It has its own farms throughout East Anglia and its processing plant is based in Attleborough in Norfolk. Right, so the biggest topic in the industry right now is one which I know you've both spoken out about previously. It has a particular impact on businesses with a strong seasonal focus, but it seems to be affecting every single poultry business at the moment, and indeed food business. And that issue is, of course, the current lack of available labour. It's fairly rare that problems in the poultry industry come to dominate headlines in mainstream news outlets. But this summer, the problem has grown from something that only the industry seems to have been discussing, that something everybody seems to know about. From farms, factories and distribution, there is simply a lack of people available to do the jobs. And throughout the food industry as a whole, there are 500,000 vacancies. This summer, we've seen shoppers sharing pictures on social media of empty shelves in supermarkets. We've also had Nando's closing its doors in August for a week because it simply couldn't get chicken. And Ranjit Boparan of Two Sisters, who rarely says anything publicly, has spoken out about how this year has been the most difficult environment for business he has ever known. So today we're going to talk about how the shortage of labour is affecting poultry businesses and whether there are any real solutions. So Paul, first, how many people does your company employ and how many vacancies do you have?
Okay, well, we are a very seasonal business. We've got a seasonal breeding and hatchery division and then a seasonal Christmas division. So at peak times, we're employing 130 people and that will go down to 40, 43 people outside of those peaks. Currently, we are processing our end-of-lay breeders, and that's a team of 62, and we are short of 17 people at the moment. So it's really, really difficult, and we're actually having to throw product in the skip that we would normally be able to sell. Just we can't physically pack it. We can't physically pack it in the plant, but also there's the double whammy is a lot of the time we can't even get it collected because there aren't the lorry drivers to do the distribution. So all round, it's an absolute nightmare.
Has it ever been like this before?
Never, ever, ever. No. I mean, you know, pre-2004, when it all opened up for us, we had massive labour problems. But of course, we'd scaled our business to account for that, so we were a lot smaller. And when we had access to the European labour market, we were able to grow the business. And of course, now we've grown the business to it's profitable. We're doing really well. Now we simply don't have the labour to do the job.
Obviously, the change in immigration policy that came into effect at the start of this year seems to be the major reason most people are struggling. Is that the case for you, or are there any other reasons?
No, that's the only reason. And I mean, I guess COVID does have a part to blame. People went home, you know, and it's easy not to come back then, isn't it? And I think for us, we're relatively lucky, I think, compared to the bigger companies, because we did manage to get settled status for a lot of our team that have worked for us for many years. So, but of course, that only lasts for 5 years, so there will be natural wastage there. COVID played a part, but the reality is people that we have employed for many years and love coming to us for work, they don't see a future here anymore for them. You know, and they're a skilled labour force, and it's tragic that they don't see a future because they can go into mainland Europe and get all the work they want. So, and they just don't want to come anymore. Mm. It's terrible.
Mark, same question to you. How many people does your company employ and how many vacancies do you currently have?
Yeah, so on a week-to-week basis, we employ about 300 people. And then much the same as Paul, the seasonal element of our business happens around the Christmas turkey market, and our workforce would double for that period, so needing about another 300 people for that period. We're currently running week to week roughly 20% short of labour, we're short across the whole business, on the farms, in the factory, catchers, lorry drivers, every area we look at, we're short of people. The big concern that I have is looking at our seasonal peak, is that sitting here today, I still don't have a single labour provider able to guarantee me a single person, not one. So I'm looking at needing at least another 300 people for Christmas, and I haven't got a single name in the book yet, which is a huge, huge concern.
So normally at this time of year, what stage would you be at with your seasonal recruitment programme?
Well, by now I would be well and truly locked down. I would know exactly where my labour is coming from, who is providing it, and we use multiple agencies. We spread the risk around. Also with lorry drivers, I would have contracts in place with the various haulage companies hauling both live birds into the factory and also finished product out to our customers. And so far, nobody is committing to doing that job. It's a complete about turn to where we would normally be. By now, I would be completely ready to go, but at the moment, we're a long way from it.
And the recruitment agencies that you usually use, what kind of information are you getting from them?
They are saying that there simply is no labour. There's no labour available. There's nobody wanting to come in. And it's just a complete blank. We're even now getting some of our labour providers that work using the government schemes, the government-approved providers, the Concordias, the AMPs, are now saying, we are going to be unable. So, you know, they're confirming that they're not going to be able to supply us with labour this year, which is an even more of a concern. They're not even saying we might be able to. It's a we will not be able to supply you.
That sounds like a really tough situation. How, if you can't get the people, how are you actually going to manage things like bird welfare on farm, quite aside from the fact of, you know, getting the volume through the factories to supply your customers?
Well, we're doing everything we possibly can. We're trying to make everything as simple as we can. But the problem is we have to commit to our turkeys earlier on in the year, in sort of January, February time. The orders are accepted and contracts are signed. The birds are placed early summer and through the summer months, and sitting here now in September, all of our turkeys are on the farms, running around in the woods and the fields, you know, fattening up ready for Christmas. So we are committed to growing and farming these turkeys. And we're also committed contractually to supply our customers. But at the moment, without the labour, we really are struggling to see how we're going to be able to manage with this.
Mm. So you still have the same number of birds. I believe, Paul, have you still got the same number of birds? Because the BPC, the British Poultry Council, has said that overall turkey numbers are down about 20% this year because businesses have taken the decision not to place birds earlier in the year. What's happening on your farms and in your business?
We have actually placed the same as last year, but that's the first time in 25 years we haven't grown our business. We did make the decision not to place any more. There is definitely a 20% reduction in the main bulk of the turkeys in the UK, and that's from the two big suppliers, Avara and Burnham Matthews, and also Gressing as well. And I mean, whilst we're a lot smaller than Mark's business, I mean, we're relatively small in needing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, not thousands. And so those companies that are relying on agencies to supply 1,500, 2,000 people, they can't take that risk. And it's financial suicide if you're growing turkeys, obviously, for Christmas, because turkeys on Boxing Day, aren't worth a lot of money. You know, you have to get the packing done. So if you're not going to be able to, if you think you're not going to be able to get it done, the prudent decision would be not to place them.
Yeah.
Mark would be in the position I am, is that we hope the government will see sense and give us some support and give us some help. The bigger companies that are doing, you know, millions of turkeys, they can't afford that risk.
No. And I believe you've said quite recently you think there's likely to be a rise in imports this year. Is that the case?
There will be, yeah, if we can't supply. I mean, what's really tragic is, as an industry, we've really worked hard over the past 25, 30 years at supplying all of the retailers what they want with quality British turkey, because we have access to that labour market, which helped us do that. Previously, you go back into the 90s, a lot of turkeys coming into the UK were supplied from France, because we couldn't do it. We didn't have the labour force to do it. Once we got the labour force, we, of course, built the infrastructure, built the farms, so we could actually supply the marketplace. So the supermarkets are in a catch-22 where they'd like to support British turkeys, but they'll have no choice but to go abroad if we as an industry can't do so. And, of course, the ironic thing is, those big factories out in France, they're rubbing their hands with glee because they're thinking, we're going to get that business back that we lost 30 years ago. And those very same people that would have been coming here to process the turkeys will be doing it in France. You know, it's a crazy situation.
I know there's been a lot of frustration with the official government response and the response of individual MPs for businesses who have contacted their representatives for help. I mean, the official government response seems to be along the lines of pay more and automate more. How realistic is that as a response, Mark?
Yes, in an industry, you know, we always look to automate everything. You know, that's the nature of the business that we're in, to run as efficiently as we can. As far as paying more money is concerned, that's not the issue. The issue is the people aren't there in order to pay the money too. If it was as simple as paying more money, the solution would be very easy. But of course, you know, if the people aren't there in the first place, you can't, paying more money doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah. And what kind of response have you had when you've spoken to your MP, if that's something you have done?
We've engaged with our local MPs, and at the moment we're not really getting very positive responses. We're being pointed in the direction of the job centre, perhaps using prisoners on day release, but you know, these areas can perhaps find us a few people, but where we're looking for seasonal, huge seasonal increases in our workforce of, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, it doesn't even scratch the surface. But you know, I must go back to what I said in the first place, is that the people aren't there to work. And you know, people sometimes you know, knock us as a business, as an industry, for employing you know, Eastern European people. But the only reason we're doing that is because we need people to work in our factories. I'm not concerned who works in my factory, whether they live in the local village, the local town, or whether they come from Eastern Europe. It doesn't make any difference to me. I just need people to work the factories, work on the farms, operate the machines, and do a good job.
Paul, I believe that you were advised to go and talk to your local job centre. What happened when you did that?
Yeah, well, we did, and I took on board exactly what the NFU. We had a meeting with the job centres, the, you know, top guys, and they were saying you should go and engage. And we did, actually. To be fair, what we hadn't done is engage with the job centre to try and sell our business and get people involved, and explain that actually, if you come to us, you know, you'll get forklift licences, you'll learn how to drive vans, you'll be delivering, you'll get a great CV. So we did go, we talked to the job centre guys, and they said, yeah, you know what, we didn't know that either. And why wouldn't I recommend youngsters coming to want a job, why wouldn't I recommend them to you rather than go and get a job in a restaurant, because they'll have a great CV, even if they stay with you for a year or so. So we did that. We did have three applications, one of which wasn't suitable, one didn't turn up for the interview, and one didn't want the job. So, you know, that was the three. And since then, we have talked to our local job centre, and they have openly said, look, you honestly, don't waste your time. There is no labour. There will be no one to help you this Christmas through our office. That's the local chairman's office. Yeah, you know, you might be one or two people, but of course we're wanting 45 at the moment, I think is what we're short. So it's a joke. And then if I could just say, getting onto the automation thing, as a business, you know, we hang our hat on the fact that we hand pluck and dry pluck our turkeys. You know, it's not about automation. It's about doing it in a very traditional way. So whilst we, like Mark says, every business can be, want to be as efficient as they possibly can, given the processes they do. But we need people to hand pluck, dry pluck turkeys. It's not something you can automate. So it's a crazy thing to say to us as a business.
Is there anything that is giving you any cause for optimism at the moment that this situation may be resolved or lessened?
Well, partly, Mark. I mean, it wasn't worrying me a month or so ago because I thought the government would see sense and give us some sort of a seasonal worker derogation, as they do the general agriculture workers picking fruit and veg and everything. But I'm getting less and less hopeful, and I don't know. I, you know, you would think the government would see sense, but I'm not optimistic. No, I'm not optimistic. There's nothing I can think of at the moment that would point me in that direction, sadly.
And you, Mark?
I'm the same. You know, we're sitting here in the beginning of September and we still don't have any answers for any of the questions that we're asking or any sign of any extra labour. The only thing that does give me a little bit of optimism, I guess, is the fact that we are growing and producing the centrepiece of the Christmas dinner, and without our turkeys that Paul and myself and the other poultry businesses will be producing, there will not be a Christmas dinner. You cannot have a Christmas dinner without the turkey. So, you know, at the moment it's looking pretty bleak, and at the moment, you know, I'm telling people Christmas is postponed. You know, Boris Johnson sort of cancelled Christmas last year, and I'm just hoping that they see sense and they don't cancel it again this year.
It would be quite ironic if Brexit meant foreign turkeys, do you think?
Well, it would be ironic, wouldn't it? The whole reason why, you know, we've done Brexit is to be more self-sustainable and to, you know, encourage businesses to produce more product, and yet the opposite seems to be happening and everything seems to be slowing down and going abroad. And of course, you know, we're talking about the immediate situation with our numbers and what we're doing for this Christmas. But of course, you know, when you start to look forward to next Christmas and the future, what gives us any encouragement that anything's going to be any different? And of course, you know, these plans are a long while in the making. And at the moment, as Paul said, I think you'd be crazy to be thinking, well, are we going to grow our business next year? If anything, we'll probably rein the numbers back to give us more chance of getting it done.
Looking at a wider industry picture, I know Avara Foods, their perspective as obviously one of the largest poultry producers in the country, is that this change to immigration rules is actually going to bring about a major structural change to the industry. They're ploughing ahead very much with automation, which is something they can do because of their scale. Looking into your crystal ball, how do you see this change, which is a major change, reshaping the poultry industry in the medium term? Mark, what are your predictions?
Well, I think it will scale the industry back. You know, a lot of the jobs that are done can't be automated. You know, working unsociable hours, throughout throughout the year, particularly in our business with the free range and the outside element of it, people working through the winter. It's a bleak future for sure.
Paul, what's your view on this?
No, I'd echo those comments, definitely. There's no choice. If you haven't got the people to do the job, you can't do the job, can you? And we don't have the people to do the job. It's as simple as that. You can automate to a certain extent, but I would suggest whilst Avara and the bigger guys, they are automating, you know what? They're pretty good at the moment. They're doing an amazing job. They're very, very efficient. So There's not much you can do there. And that seasonal work at Christmas, you just can't automate it to an extent that you're going to get the job done. It will downsize and it will go back to where we were 30 years ago, where we'll be having a huge amount of imports coming in.
What we mustn't forget, Chloe, is that we still need people to operate the machine automation that we put in there. We mustn't think that that just solves the labor problem. Even the robots still need people to operate them.
Now, just a final thought. Obviously, we've seen some of the bigger poultry businesses saying that to cope with the short-term challenges, they're reducing the number of items, they're simplifying their range. Is that an approach you're going to be taking this Christmas in order to get the birds through, Mark?
Very much so. But isn't that just the travesty of it all? We built this fantastic seasonal business, not just us but the rest of the industry, and producing the most incredible Christmas products that tick everybody's box for that best meal of the year, and here we are this year thinking, well, we're going to have to rein all of those products back and perhaps just supply a standard turkey, and it's an absolute travesty that we're in this position. We've spent years and years and years developing these products. And it's looking like this year, assuming we can find enough people to operate our factory, we'll just be producing the run-of-the-mill standard free-range turkeys.
What about you, Paul?
Well, we've always simplified our range. We've never gone into a lot of value-added. But at this point in time, we'll be offering the same ranges. But then because we are so labour-intensive, as a business with our dry processing, we've never really got into adding a lot of value to the turkey. So it's been a breast, roast, crown, whole bird trade. It's a very simple cut for us.
Right. That kind of completes my questions. Were there any other thoughts either of you wanted to add at this stage?
I think, one of the things, we've talked about sort of our direct people, but we mustn't forget the effect that what's happening outside of our businesses is having on us, particularly with our supply chain. We've touched on the lorry drivers, that's causing an immense amount of trouble now. Financially, you can spend all your time growing your chickens, processing, packing them, putting them in the tray, loading them on a lorry, and then the lorry doesn't arrive, or the lorry gets held up, and or the driver doesn't turn up, so there's nobody to drive a lorry, and that's having huge financial impacts on us, and I'm sure everybody else, but also the wider supply chain as well. With the ancillary items that we need to run our business, from packaging to feed to everything that's involved with haulage is under pressure at the moment.
Do you get any sense, Mark, that there's any appetite among your retail customers to pay more in order to support the whole supply chain?
I think they do understand the situation that we're in. There are moves afoot to help us. But at the end of the day, these are to operate, and you can't just magic them up.
Mm. Paul, did you have any final thoughts or points you wanted to make?
No, I think exactly what Mark said. It's not just getting the birds packed, and it's the wider supply chain, packaging costs, containers. We've got problems with getting packaging in, just plastic bags, getting them in on time, and just the boxes. It's very, very tricky. And it's I don't think, you know, I've asked, Europe don't seem to be having any of these problems. America does. America's got issues with a lot of people being laid off and having money, and they don't want to come back to work. And of course, with a lot of Mexicans went home under the Trump administration. So America are going through the same issues we are at the moment, but mainland Europe doesn't seem to be. They're okay.
Do you feel let down?
Very much so. But then I say that because I was a Remainer anyway. On balance, I was a Remainer. I could see lots wrong with Europe. I could see so much right with it, and I didn't see a real good reason to leave. But I really do feel let down in the fact that I don't see, as a business, it's cost us a fortune this year on exports being turned back at Calais because of petty paperwork issues. We're going to lose a big contract, I know, next year because it's just too much of a risk dealing with us for export business. And as a business, there is not one single thing that I can honestly say that has improved because of Brexit. The only thing we've seen as a business is negatives.
Mm. Yeah, Mark,
I have asked a lot of other friends outside of the poultry industry the same, and I haven't found one yet that says, yes, it's been the right thing to do because of this, 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 and this.
Yeah, I think for me, it feels as if we've literally had the rug pulled away from underneath us. You know, we've been running successful businesses, we've grown them over the last 20 or 30 years, and all of a sudden, we've literally had the rug pulled out from underneath us, and we could see this was going to happen, and we said this was going to happen. And, you know, it doesn't give me any satisfaction to say, well, we said, you know, we told you so. But I agree with Paul that we haven't, certainly haven't had any benefits since Brexit.
And I think I told you, Chloe, that I've had a conversation with, I'm not going to name them, a politician who said, well, let's just wait and see, shall we, Paul? And I said, just wait and see. We're not running a corner shop here. We need to plan. That's what you do as a business. You need to plan. You need to have assurance. So don't please say, let's wait and see. What a ridiculous comment. Anyway, you can tell I was angry with that.
Yeah, absolutely. This has not been the most positive topic to kick off our podcast series, but it's an important topic, and I want to thank you for sharing your story about what's happened to your businesses. And I think at this stage, it's just important to keep raising awareness and keep spelling out exactly what this means for businesses up and down the country. So thank you both for taking part today.
Absolute pleasure.
Yep. Fantastic. Okay. And that's all from this episode of Poultry Today. Don't forget to follow us on @poultrybusiness. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then why not leave us a review?